From Italy to the Canadian Rockies and beyond, Gazette Travel makes exploring the world easy and stress-free. See our full lineup of tours at thegazette.com/travel.
Welcome to the Pinning Combination Podcast, College Edition. I'm KJ Pilcher with the Gazette alongside Dick Briggs, ready to talk about college wrestling here on the Iowa landscape. And Briggsy, how are you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, man. Can you believe it? I'm going to just pop over one time for the high school. The high school is done. Wow, this season has flown by. But on to the college. We still got 3 weeks left here.
We still have 3 weeks, but we're also getting into crunch time here. The postseason is officially upon us now, and we're hitting the nitty-gritty. Of course, we've got some results to kind of pour over from last weekend. Iowa State, you and I finish up their regular season. We'll also take a look at the NCAA qualifier for the women's. Of course, that first NCAA championship is going to be at Extreme Arena. Not this week, but the following week in Coralville. So big things happening on that front. Also have a blind five for you, Briggsy, and then we'll take a look at the D3 and D2 regionals coming up this week as they start their postseason. And, of course, the D3 championships right here in Cedar Rapids at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse. So excited for that on March 13th and 14th. But the regional this weekend will be up in Dubuque. But first, let's talk Iowa wrestling. Iowa finished up their regular season at Oklahoma State. Pretty abysmal showing down there for the Hawkeyes. Kind of got thumped a little bit by the Cowboys, who snapped a six I believe it's a six duel losing streak to the Hawkeyes. But Okie State coming away with a 32-11 win. Their worst loss. Now I got to remember it off the top of my head. Iowa's worst loss to Oklahoma State since like 64, like sometime in the mid 60s.
Yeah, I think I read 66, maybe. I'm not sure. Mid 60s. But, you know, I mentioned that last week. I said this has the potential to be a blowout, and it really was. So, up front, first question, what was the biggest surprise of the duel for you?
Biggest surprise of the duel? It might not be an individual win, but the way it played out, I'd have to say at 133, Tech fall for Jax. Not that Jax won, not that Forrest won and beat Ayala. It was the manner in which he did it, I think, was right. The biggest surprise for me.
Right, same. And, you know, I mean, I was shocked. I think a lot of people were, to an extent. I mean, Forrest is great, but Ayala, he's just struggled. He's had a heck of a season, just had to wrestle, it seems like, one after another highly ranked wrestler and you know, has not fared well with him. So hopefully he can get that turned around now in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, there are a lot of things that, I mean, you can point to a lot of things, you know, the fact that Iowa didn't have their starter at 141, you know, boy, I tell you what, things just aren't going Game World's way. I mean, I think that I didn't agree with the stall call at the end that ended it. I also thought he had a takedown earlier in the match, and those calls just seem to be going against him. You know, when you think of Sunday, you think of the Ohio State duel, not going his way. Backups at heavyweight and 197 essentially. But I don't think that makes all it does is change the margin of victory. It doesn't change how the duel plays out.
Right. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's like pouring a little salt on the wound, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's
you're not going to get calls in, was it Iba Gallagher?
Yeah.
I've been there a number of times. It's a fun arena for the national tournaments back in the day. And but, you know, here's the thing. I agree with you. The takedown was there. I thought it was. He's behind the near arm. He's covering the hips. And, you know, some people say it's too brief or whatever. I don't think it was. I think it was there. On the as far as the stall warning, he'd been warned. He was out of bounds. He's got a circle. Even just an attempt, a little attempt, a step left or right to circle is probably going to stave off that stall call and extend the match. You know, there's no telling whether he would have won it or not. But, you know, should have won it with the takedown. Now we're in a sudden victory. Doesn't, you know, gets warned off the mat. He's got to learn from Jordan Williams when he was wrestling. Was it Anthony Taylor? The same call, same thing. Your teammate just lost, you know, earlier in the season. Learn from that. And you know, as much as we like Gabe, he's got to at least make an attempt that he's trying to circle in, and you know that, and not give that referee the opportunity to make that call.
You didn't think there was a little bit of, you know, still trying to face and come back in?
No.
Okay.
No. So, you know, at least in that situation, you've been warned, you're in sudden victory. You've got to sell it, man. Sell that.
Sure.
And he didn't. And you know, we know the result there. So I'm still not putting that on Gabe. I think he should have won the match with that takedown.
Sure. You know, Ryder Block coming out. I know we didn't get the him versus Swiderski rematch, but he still was able to kind of take care of business. The big bright spot for Iowa has to be 165, where Caliendo avenges that loss to Ladarian Lockett. And it's gonna create a really weird seeding issue in the NCAAs if Caliendo can avenge his loss to Joey Blaze at the Big Tens. And even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, you've got Blaze, Messenbrink at 2-1. What do you do with Lockett and Caliendo? Where they both split.
And someone else is in there too. That could be an issue as well. I forget now who it is, but so that, you know, if they're 2-3, live with it. You're on the other side.
Well, it would be 2-3. Joey Blaze is number
four, right? Oh, Blaze, yeah.
That's assuming Blaze beats Caliendo again. And it's Messenbrink 1 and Blaze 2. Then you've got an issue with Lockett and Caliendo 3-4, and you sure as heck want to be on the opposite side as Messenbrink, I would think. It makes it even harder if Caliendo beats Blaze at the Big Tens. Now, Caliendo and Blaze have split. Lockett and Caliendo have split. Blaze and Lockett have not crossed paths. Lockett's probably going to be a Big 12 champ. Because you got to get one of those golden tickets on the other side, because I'll just say it, Mitchell Messenbrink is head and shoulders above anybody else.
And so you've got to – so you're wrestling for a seed at the national tournament to get on the other side of Messenbrink. That's what you're doing. Your best chance to get the highest step, likely other than one. I mean, Messenbrink to me is just heads and above everyone.
Yeah.
And he's, am I right? Is he only a junior?
God, yes.
Seems like he should be a senior right now. Actually, seniors don't even matter anymore. How many years do they get? But I mean, he's been so dominant for so long. That's incredible, really. But
Caliendo certainly helped his. Helped his stock a little bit by avenging that loss. So,
right, you know, and that was a cool takedown. he just stays in such good position all the time, doesn't he? And boy, you wish the best for Caliendo for sure.
Yep.
He's been kind of a sleeper. I'm not a sleeper, but all the attention has been to those that aren't there or maybe not performing as well, instead of focusing in on he and actually Kennedy too. They've done a great job this year. So it's kind of sometimes the focus goes away from them. Maybe they'll like that.
Yeah, and Kennedy came away with that's a quality win against Macondo, 8-3. Iced it with a takedown late, but for some reason, I know it was 8-3, but it just seemed like Kennedy was in control the entire match. There was no real threat to him losing that, even though it was within a takedown of. You know, if he doesn't get that takedown there at the end, Facundo could have scored in 1-6-5. But I just thought he was in control the entire time, and he's been that way most of the season.
Right. There's times when I'd be coaching, even when I was wrestling back in the day, because we didn't put as many points on the board back then, it seemed. And, it'd be like one of my wrestlers would come off, and maybe he won 4-3 or 2-1 or whatever, and I go, that was a 2-1 butt kick. And you just, the kid was never in the match. Yeah, he didn't put a lot of points on the board, but he had never had an opportunity to score. He was always in control. So, yeah, that I agree with you. That was he did a nice job in that match.
So the one thing, I guess, I don't want to get into like the lineup. We'll talk about that next week when we get closer to the Big Tens and kind of see what they have. We'll have pre-seeds and stuff like that next week before we do this again. One of the things I wanted to point out, with this loss, that's the most losses since the 05-06 season. The season right before Brands came in, the most in his tenure, and I think it's tied for the fourth most losses in a season in Iowa history. Is that something that needs to be considered or talked about more, or? We're not.
KJ, I'm going to bring this up. I just think this is what's happening. You know, as a not a casual observer, but an observer, mm-hmm. fairly close to the program, you know, sitting here. Anyway, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but here's what you're seeing. You know, last summer you saw issues with even prior to that, with Oles Ferrari, AJ, not doing his thing and that sort of thing. And then you've got Gabe Arnold issue, and then you've got the who's the stud senior that was
Bo Bassett.
Bo Bassett. Thank you, geez. And then you've got Endine issue, and then you've got other issues, and now you got injury to Ferrari, Ferrari, and then you've got some of the issues with the new guys that they brought in, paid to bring in. That aren't maybe not performing very well. And it's a team that quite honestly is not a great Iowa team. Not like we've seen in so many years, So they're a good team, but they're not that great Iowa team. That's, right up there hunting for this title. So there's so many things that have just gone, just kind of domino effect. And so, that's kind of my observation, and that's what the fans are seeing. And, and they're wanting that old Iowa, mentality and performance out on the mat. And so that's kind of what I've seen, I guess.
Sure. And we'll see, we'll see how healthy everybody is here in a week and a half when they head to the Big Ten championships at State College, which, they thought Oklahoma State was going to be a beehive. It's going to be an unfriendly environment for all those other Big Ten teams coming into the Bryce Jordan center. I just wanted to confirm. So the 21-point loss was Iowa's worst in this series since the 25-2 defeat in 1916-61 season. So that's how
you got to figure. Back then, it was there weren't majors in technical falls. I think I think back then it was a pin and it was a winner a pin, if I remember right.
Okay. So, okay.
Way back then.
That's I didn't know that. Before my time. Right. So I was trying to. I know I had the list of most losses written down. I don't have it with me at the moment, and I thought I had it stuck in that story, but I don't.
You can also.
I think the most losses is 8. I think there are 2 seasons where it was 7, which includes Zaleski's last year, and then 3 or 4 with 6. So, yeah. Certainly not not a great place to be, but we'll see if they can kind of salvage some stuff here. You know, everybody talks about you wrestle for March, right? Well, we're getting to March now, so this will be kind of the determining factor of whether the season was good or not, because you can always salvage some things with a good finish at the Big Tens and NCAAs.
Right, and let me ask you this, KJ. I have one last thing on the Oklahoma State meet. I have to admire actually the coaching staff and Lockett for stepping out on the mat on a meet that's appeared to be well at hand for the Cowboys, and you know, putting that number 2 ranking, maybe even the number 2 seed on the line to go out and wrestle.
Right.
And
you see
a lot of coaches that maybe are protecting him. And do we know, is that what happened at heavyweight? You know,
I think that's more of there's nothing to salvage there with actually it would have benefited Keeter more to be on the mat.
Yeah.
Quality win. There, I think that's. I think there's more of a kind of a regrouping there. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think there's some physical ailments. I don't know if he's ever really been 100% in the season coming back from the off-season hip surgery. Then I think maybe a shoulder issue, and I think there's a lack of confidence thing where he's really not been offensive, because I think he doesn't have a lot of confidence in his offense, and I think the physical issues. So without being able to say 100%, and that's why he wasn't on the mat, I think he would have benefited more being on the mat to be able to get a win over Doucette than any kind of setback he would have experienced with losing to Doucette, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes sense to me. And I agree that there's probably some physical that tends to make you less offensive, like you're saying, and then, you know, erodes your confidence. So right. Without question, all of those points are valid. I agree.
So, of course, as we mentioned, the Big Tens, the 8th and 9th of March at Penn State. So not that Penn State needed any extra boost, but to have the home crowd and sleep in your own bed, boy, it might be ugly next week, even more ugly than expected. But we'll see, and we can talk about that next week. Let's move over to Iowa State here. Iowa State closed out its regular season against Missouri. Cyclones finished things off senior night, I believe, there at Hilton Coliseum with or senior day, if you want to be technical. 20-14 win over Missouri. Just a good way to finish out the regular season for the number four Cyclones.
Right, and I don't think they were the sharpest. They lost some matches that I think they thought they probably would have won.
Sure.
So you know that they're a good team. So when you can do that and still win the meet by six, you've got a good team going. You know, Missouri's number 14, Iowa State's ranked number four, and there's one person that just stands out on that team, and it's not even close, it seems like, and that's Bastida at heavyweight. That guy is just, he's wrestled so well. He's given up a takedown or two, but it's because he goes out and wrestles, you know, and I love that, man, instead of pushing and shoving at any weight in college.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, that's fun. He's doing a great job there. So,
yeah, I had a nice little curtain call there on senior day as well. What was it? 22-6 technical fall in under 6 minutes. So that says a lot. I mean, geez, you know, remember 2 years ago, he had a fantastic season. And then I think he broke his finger in the quarterfinal match.
Yeah.
That he ended up losing in overtime to Paris. You know, and then last year he was hurt. So I'm not surprised because he's done this. You know, I think 2 years ago, if it wasn't for that injury, you know, he would have been a Saturday night guy if it wasn't for that hand injury. Had the makings to do it last year. Obviously the knee was a problem, and now he's healthy. Gosh. You nail it on the head. He looks good.
Yeah.
Should there be any concern with, this is another duel that Evan Frost didn't wrestle. Isaac Dean not in the lineup. I would just chalk it up to some of the stuff with Iowa as well. It's, you know, we want these guys healthy in – we want them as healthy as possible in a couple of weeks, like, you know, Frost or Dean or Ferrari and Bailey and Peter. You know, there's not much to gain right here. Just give them a little bit of break till what matters most. Or is there concern?
It's always concerned when they're not in the lineup. I'm going to look at them separately. So with Frost, remember we had some sickness. Both the Frost brothers had some sickness mid-season, if you remember. And
why Jacob wasn't in the lineup against Iowa.
Right. And even early, right. And then so in this darn sickness that's going around, it's not a quick hitter. It just lingers. And so hopefully that's what it is there. As far as Dean, I'm more concerned with Dean because he's been out a long time. Now, if he's even close, I'm not sure I put him into this duel because he's got the number three ranked wrestler. Is Sinclair, is he a freshman?
A sophomore.
Sophomore now? Okay. And I mean, he's a goer, man. That's a good wrestler there. So if Dean's not 100%, I don't think you want to put him out there when you're trying to get the guy ready for postseason, which is the next competition. So that makes sense to me to not put him in there if he's close. And I'm just hoping he's close. So that's my concern. Is he close or not? Because he's been out for a while. So, you know, that's the issue there in terms of out. The other kind of glaring match was involved Jacob Frost, you know, number one ranked, and he lost to an unranked wrestler, and he lost 8-2. Now, I don't know if he gave up. I think he gave up a takedown towards the end of the match, but it's still, you know, 5-2 or whatever. So that's a pretty significant loss there for Jacob. Mm-hmm. I know I didn't see that coming. But Elam's been kind of in and out of the lineup, so he's been in the last couple of times and posted a 7-3 win over the number 13 ranked Russell Bates from Missouri. So that's a nice win there for him.
Right. So Iowa State, they're done. Here's something that I just kind of noticed. I think I noticed it a while ago, but it's just kind of stepping up. They're off until the Big 12 championships in Tulsa, March 6th and 7th. I like the fact that the Big 12 and the Big 10 are staggered for their finals.
Mm-hmm.
So many times they've been on the same day. One just earlier, you know, one in the mid-afternoon, one in the evening, but still on the same day. And now you've got the Big 12 on Friday, Saturday. You've got the Big 10s on Saturday, Sunday. I like that for those two conferences and for college wrestling, actually.
Right. I was at Tulsa a couple of years ago at the Big 12s, and you're right. It was Saturday, Sunday, both dates. Big 12 was mid-afternoon, early, you know, afternoon, and then the Big 10's in the evening. If I remember right, on the Big 10 channel or whatever. And then, you know, so if you're at the Big 12s, you're traveling now, unless you're staying behind or whatever. So it's tough to watch it, all of that. So now you got Friday, Saturday for the Big 12s, and then Saturday, Sunday, like you said, for the Big 10s. And I agree, that's so much nicer now.
Good for fans in general, being able to not have to split screens or what have you, to try to watch both a little bit easier.
Right.
Even though there still is a little overlap, but not
quite. I've seen some of my friends that have like four different television screens. Depending on so they can watch each match in the semifinals or whatever, you know.
Right.
Or the quarters or whatever.
Some other news about Iowa State. More of the unfortunate news. Former Cyclone coach, wrestling pioneer, legend, Bobby Douglas passed away on Monday at the age of 83. Of course, Douglas, head coach at Iowa State from 1993 to 2006, was a head coach for Cale Sanderson and his undefeated streak in college. Douglas, head coach at Arizona State before that, where he won a national title, coincidentally, in Ames, at Hilton in 1988. And that was big because that kind of broke up a long string of, I think it was just Iowa State and Oklahoma State for the longest time, that had been the only programs to win it until the Sun Devils, took it all in 88. Of course, he was a two-time Olympian, first Black American on the U.S. Olympic team. Also, I think he was the first Black head coach at a major Division I program. When he was at Arizona State, I think in the early 70s, like 73 or 74 maybe. Multi-time world medalist, but definitely a great ambassador of the sport.
Right. And I mean, a few things about Coach Douglas. Arizona State's the only school that's won it, you know, from the Western United States, I don't know, west of the Missouri River or something like that. And you know, his team did that. When I was a grad assistant in 1979 and 80, we would take Western State College in Colorado. We would go down to Phoenix after the Christmas break, and we would wrestle the University of Arizona back when they had wrestling, and ASU. And Bobby Douglas was the coach. And this is kind of an odd thing. He had like a jogging suit on with his fanny pack, and he would stand up back, you know, and not with the team, and just kind of up in the empty stands because there wasn't very many people there. Wasn't a hands-on coach, at least those days when I was coaching. I know my brother spoke highly of him, you know, as when Don was the UNI coach and he was the Iowa State coach. So great memories. And you're right, man, that guy was a pioneer. If you remember the picture, I don't know if you can picture this in your mind, I'll try and describe it, where there's two wrestlers, one wrestler is down on the mat, and the other wrestler's on top, kind of in this sort of formation where he's pulling an arm and trying to take him to his back. That's a picture of Dan Gable and Bobby Douglas. Gable's the one down below that's getting turned.
Really?
He's the one that's going to to kind of looks like he's going to get taken down maybe. And Douglas is on top. And so I believe when you said he first make the Olympics, I think that was probably a trial match, I guess, when Douglas beat Gable. So,
wow. Well, I did not know that.
Yeah. I don't know if you can imagine the picture or not. It's
yeah. Yeah.
It's one's Bob Douglas trying to turn Gable.
I remember being in on some USA Wrestling logo stuff.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep. You know, just kind of looking at some of the social media reactions, Kevin Dresser, he said, Bobby Douglas is a legend in so many ways. He was a blessing, thinking of his family and all the wrestlers all over the country who competed for coach. You know, Kevin Jackson said, I need some time to gather my thoughts on Bobby's passing. Let's celebrate his incredible life the right way. Love, thoughts, and prayers to Jackie, Bobby Douglas's wife of a long time, and his son, Bobby Jr. I know Chris Bono had a message about how much he loved Bobby Douglas and had his condolences as well. Of course, Chris Bono not only wrestled for him, but coached alongside him as well. 52 All-Americans at Iowa State, 10 individual titleists, 3 more runner-up, almost 200 dual victories with the Cyclones. Of course, boy, he's in a whole long list of Hall of Fames, from Iowa State and Arizona State to the Glenn Brand Hall of Fame and the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. What I didn't realize is when he competed in college, he competed for West Liberty State, who we've seen here compete at the D2 level. But back then, that was an NAIA school. So he was an NAIA national champ. And then sometime during his time there, they transitioned to the NCAA. So he was there, kind of bridged the NAIA to NCAA move for West Liberty State. And then his senior year, his final season, he transferred to Oklahoma State, where he was a Big 8 champ. Of course, Big 8 was the conference before what you have with the Big 12 now. Just to look at a couple more accomplishments for him. He was the 1989 and 1991 U.S. World Team coach. He was the head coach for the U.S. Olympic team in 1992, and then had been an assistant on the Olympic teams in 76, 80, 84, 88, 96, and 2004. Of course, helping Kevin Jackson and Sanderson win gold medals. See, Jackson would have been 88 or 98. Right? Or 96?
No.
Can't remember if he was part of that in Atlanta. I know South Korea was in 88, and I know that's where Barry Davis won his silver.
Davis won his in Los Angeles.
I thought that was gold. I thought that was gold in 84.
He didn't win a gold. He was silver.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
So I don't remember if it's 88 or not. That's a good question. I'm thinking 96 because wasn't it? I'm remembering a picture of
Brands and Angle in 96.
Was that when Garth Brooks? They yes. did that with Garth Brooks and.
Yep.
I'm thinking that was. I don't know. I remember the KG. I'm sorry. Well, I did find that poster picture. Here's, I don't know if you can see this or not, but that's the picture. Kind of rough to see in here. That's Douglas on top of Gable trying to take you over. And yeah, let me get that a little closer. There we go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's the making of a champion. He wrote that book, or it was a book that he wrote. And That's the picture that was used. So, yep.
Trevin Jackson, it was actually 92.
92. Okay. All right. There we go.
92 in Barcelona. Barcelona.
I was pretty sure it wasn't 88. And I honestly thought 96 was too long. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. And I can't remember one of those years he was USA Wrestling's like Man of the Year. 92 when actually coinciding with Kevin Jackson's Olympic gold medal. So yeah, great ambassador. My memory, two things stand out to me about Bobby Douglas. One, I was in high school when the NCAA championships were at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And this is kind of embarrassing because it was in between sessions at the Wigan Pen, and he happened to be at a table with, I'm not sure who he was with, but he was there, I'm assuming with some family and coaching friend. And I just kind of walked up, you know, I'm a dumb high school kid, sophomore in high school. And I walk up and I go to ask him and I knock over his drink right across the table. He was, you know, he could have jumped up and, you know, yell or whatever. He was the nicest guy, you know. Still signed the little pad I think I brought up to him, you know. And you know, I apologize. I was just constantly apologizing, and he's just like, "It's all right. It's all right. No big deal." So he was really, really nice and gracious, even though here comes a big, stupid idiot that knocks his drink all over the table there. But anyway, then the national tournament with Steve Mako. And I know some people shared that where Mako was beating the Iowa State heavyweight. I can't remember the heavyweight's name. He gets called for an illegal move where he's working on a, you know, trying to dig the arm out and horse him over. And, you know, the angle of the arm goes illegal. It gets called. And instead of, they could have taken the cheap way out. And, you know, at that time, I think it was like a 9-point difference. Instead of taking the, you know, injury default, not continuing and causing Mako to be DQ'd, they had their heavyweight restart for 1 second and then call.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, hey, it's within the rules. You got called. You could have taken full advantage of it. But there was something there where it was like, don't want to win like that. We know what the outcome was going to be. Restart and then call injury time.
So much class and ethics when you do that.
Yeah,
that tells you a lot about that coach and actually the wrestler too, I guess.
For sure, because it's got to stem from him. But it's probably coming, you know, but the influence from Bobby Douglas and doing things, you know, the right way, and you know, that I think that's a big example there, in addition to the countless number of ways he's impacted wrestlers and the sport. Let's transition over to you and I really quick. They closed out, speaking of Chris Bono, they wrestled Wisconsin on Sunday. They came away with a 16-15 win against the Badgers. And, you know, Wisconsin's had a good season. That's a solid win, I think, for the Panthers on their senior right. day.
So Wisconsin ranked 16th. You and I ranked 18th. And we know you and I's had injuries that have knocked, you know, a couple of their wrestlers out of the lineup for the season. So a couple of highly ranked wrestlers, as a matter of fact. But when you look through the lineup and you kind of see Caleb Rachi at 149 had a big win over Zargo, the number 12 ranked wrestler, and Rachi's anywhere from 18 to 31 ranked. So so that's a big one. And he got that in sudden victory. So a nice takedown there to win it 7-4. Maximus Brady stepped into the lineup too and got the difference making win. His was the point, the bonus point that won it. He won 17-4. So big win there. And then of course, Nick Fox, 184 was the last weight. Actually, the last three weights, Thompson, Seema, and Fox got wins there. But you know, when it's on the line, Fox got the takedown that won it. So anyway, good
Jack Thompson. Jack Thompson stepping in for Ryder Downey there. Showing the depth.
Right, and beating Thompson, obviously not ranked, Downey would be, but he beats the 24th ranked wrestler and Cody Goble. So nice wins. You know, Panthers stepped up. I didn't think they were going to win it, and they sure did. So good for them.
Of course, just like Iowa State, they're off until March 6th and 7th at the Big 12s in Tulsa, Oklahoma there. You ready for a quick blind five before we look
Fire it at me.
All right.
This could be scary. I don't know. I'm kind of out of
stuff. Okay. So this is kind of a hypothetical, you know, with the NCAA championships coming up, the D1 championships, you know, they're going to be in Cleveland. It's the second year in the last decade they've been in Cleveland. They've been in Philadelphia. They bounced around from St. Louis. They're going back up to Minneapolis. Where it was canceled the COVID season. So here are rank these five places to host the NCAA D1 championships where you'd like to see them be hosted. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So rank these of where you'd like to see them be hosted. All right.
Okay.
First one is Miami.
I've been to Miami a couple of times. Beautiful city, beautiful beaches. Jumped on a couple of ships there. went to South Beach, you know, in between when we got back. So let's see. Wow, Miami, I like that. Okay, just I mean, obviously, there's in any big city, you're gonna find some areas you don't want to be in. But right. I'm gonna go. Miami weather alone in March, I'm going number two.
Okay. All right. That was one of the big ones is, good weather and something that wrestling fans aren't necessarily accustomed to there. Speaking of fun time, how about New Orleans? Not necessarily wrestling country, but.
Interesting city here. Okay. So. Lots of entertainment, lots of evidently drinking. I don't really do either one of those. I don't do any either. I don't think so. I'm gonna go. You know, I've never ever had a desire to go to New Orleans, so I'm putting that five.
Okay, all right. How about Austin, Texas?
By the way, I'm gonna back up to New Orleans. That would be scary taking the wrestling crowd down to New Orleans for a weekend, wouldn't it? Oh, jeez.
It could be both tragic and magic all in one.
Right, there you go. Okay, I'm sorry, you said San Antonio?
No, I said Austin.
Austin?
I believe that's the home of Flo Wrestling, right? So what if we had it in Flo Wrestling's backyard?
Boy, you know, I've never been to Austin. It'd be nice weather.
And it's a great social scene. Austin is great music, bar life, yes.
Okay. Weather, I'm going to go in four because I think there's a one and a three that are better.
Okay. One, this always intrigued me since Bobby Douglas coached at Arizona State. What about somewhere in Arizona?
Tempe.
I had Tempe, but I think I'm thinking of the wrong. Where's Arizona State located?
Tempe.
Okay.
I've been on campus. Obviously, I mentioned that earlier in the podcast a couple times. It's one of the most beautiful campuses you ever see. Of course, I'm there in late December, early January, and walking through with greenery and pine trees and orange trees. It seemed like I'm going to go one. I like that. Okay.
Okay.
Tempe.
All right. That was kind of one of the places I've always wanted to take this out west, just because I think wrestling needs it out there a little bit. I think it would be great. So I think we're on the same page with our first two picks. This one, the state has really grown, I think, in wrestling and really produced some really good wrestlers here lately. How about Atlanta?
Yeah.
Your last choice, Atlanta. Well, it's got to be three then, but.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I think I actually like my lineup.
Yeah.
So, cool.
I do. I would probably just because I want to go to New Orleans. I've never been to New Orleans. Even though it does scare me a little bit, but I might have New Orleans a little higher.
Yeah, I've never been attracted to that. So, but you know, once you go there, it might be number one. Who knows, right?
Yeah, right. well,
cool.
I'll the women's had their regional qualifier this weekend. We've Simpson hosted that. Just want to run down. Iowa had a fantastic showing there. Quite a few qualifiers. Just kind of running down the list. Valerie Solorio of Iowa qualified at 103, as did Nyla Valencia at 110. Brianna Gonzalez continued the winning streak there at 117, coming away with the title and moving on. Kelly Lang at 124 was a runner-up and advanced. Carly Brooks at 131, Lily Luft at 138, Reese Liramendi at 145, Kennedy Blaze at 60, Kylie Welker at 180, all come away with titles. Katya Osteen was second at 207 as I was fully loaded. Heading to the NCAA championships at Coralville. They racked up 196.5 points, beating Wartburg by 50.5. Quincy was third, followed by Simpson and Wisconsin Stevens Point. The Wartburg women's team, you know, that's pretty darn. They're We've seen what they've done throughout the season, especially at duels, where they've knocked off some teams from upper divisions, ranked pretty high. But Chloe Sheffield, a former Decorah prep, she was fourth at 103. Afflin Stussy was second at 110. Gable Heeman, third at 117, as was Sophie Bowers at 124. Mackenzie Childers, she punches her ticket to the national tournament with a third-place finish at 131. Kylie Rule, a runner-up at 38. Anaya Kelly at 145 was third. Erica Peterson wrestled at 180. And then Rewa Chababo, champion at 207. She was actually the American Rivers Conference female wrestler of the week. She had a pin in 19 seconds, had two technical falls, and then defeated Osteen in the finals 4-1 for a championship there. So a good showing from Wartburg as the number two seed there. But Iowa fully loaded. They really got to be happy about that. Because you know they're going to have quite the battle with North Central, with McKendry coming to town, just to name a few of those top programs that we're going to see the weekend after next.
Right. And is it next year they go NCAA tournament?
This is the very first NCAA tournament. This is the first one. Okay. What they voted in, I'm not sure if it's next year or the year after. So I don't know if it's 27 or if it's 28 where they'll have the D3 championship instead of them all being under one umbrella. Yep.
That's what I'm thinking. So, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. And did you see the Simpson head coach is now the U17, I think. I think it's 17. McGinnis, Jeff McGinnis is now the national coach, I believe.
I did not see that.
U17, so that's nice. Jeff does such a nice job there at Simpson. So
no, really, he definitely has done a great job there. So well deserved for Mac.
Good guy.
You know, this is a year. So when I first started looking at results, I'm like, where's the second, a couple of these weights I was expecting Iowa to be 1 and 2. And then I forgot with the NCAA tournament that they don't have that option like they had previously where you could enter, I think it was up to 12 or 15 wrestlers. So that's that's something that is a little different now in going forward.
Right. I think it was 15 for the women and 12 on the NAIA level, if I remember right.
Gotcha. Speaking of the D3s, they have their regional this Friday and Saturday at Dubuque. You've got that heavy American Rivers Conference contingent up there with Buena Vista, Central, Coe, Cornell, Loras, Luther, Simpson, University of Dubuque, and Wartburg in the field, as well as a newbie, I think, to the lineup, Blackburn. From Illinois, Eureka, Huntington from Alabama is back up. Illinois Wesleyan's in the field. Lyon College out of Arkansas. Then you've got Nebraska Wesleyan. I skipped over them in the American Rivers Conference list of teams. Shriner, Texas, who's brought up a couple good individuals. And then the University of Ozarks and Westminster, Missouri in the field. Always kind of a meat grinder here. Coach, what do you see kind of, is that going to be the same this time around?
It's softened it up. If you didn't notice, the Millikan and North Central are not in, and those are two really strong competitive teams. So they're not in this regional. They used to call it the Lower Midwest Regional, and to me, and then of course the Upper Midwest Regional, which would include Augsburg and all of the schools. They actually pulled a Whitewater out of the Upper, which is a Regional 7, out of that. And those three schools, Millikan, North Central, and Whitewater, are all heading to Ohio, University of Ohio. It's actually John Carroll, sorry, not University of Ohio, in Cleveland. And but here's, so breaking down the this region. And I'm using the rankings at each weight that are the coaches' rankings. So if you go on the NCAA site, you can see it. They break it down by regional, and they rank people inside the regional based on competition. So Wartburg has 10 kids that are going to be seeded 1 through 3 that and 3 qualify. So there's 7 regionals and 3 qualify from each regional. So Wartburg has 6 number ones, a number 2 and 3 number 3s. So they're a heavy favorite, obviously. They rank number 1 in the nation. So then Loras has 7 that are ranked that would be seeded in the top 3 that, if they wrestle to their seed, they'll qualify. Luther has 4, including their number 1 ranked wrestler, And then Cornell has four, two twos and a three. Coe has three, a wow. two and two threes. And then Central has a one and a two. But the interesting thing is that Coe has five number four seeded, based on these rankings, wrestlers, including at 133, I'm going to say this because there's a lot of local flavor. Brody Neighbor at 133, at 149, Ty, is it Kudum or Kodum?
Yep, Kudum.
Kudum, yep. And then Bo Kudum at 165, you know, so Ty and Bo brothers there. At 174, Anthony Montez, and at 184, Justin Wirtz. So they've got five wrestlers that they wrestle one above their seed or qualifying. They're in the Nationals. So University of Dubuque has three number four seeds, so they've got an opportunity there as well. So to me, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to meld this together because I want to talk about the qualifiers. So then I'm going to go to University of Upper Iowa, the Super Regional, and that's that Upper Iowa is in. It's mm-hmm. pretty tough. They've got five of the top 25 ranked teams in it of their six, was it nine, 11, 12 teams, I think, are in this. Anyway, 11 teams, I guess. So they've got the number 6, 7, 9, 14, and 25 ranked teams in it. Upper Iowa is not one of those. Their best shot is Ethan Doty. He's the only ranked wrestler in the top 15, and he's ranked 8th. But I think he'll be seated 2nd or something, if I remember right. So the reason I wanted to meld those together is this. So with Division II, you've got 71 schools. And then out of the 71, there's 18 qualifiers. So there's 6 regionals, 3 qualifiers. So there's 18 in each weight when you get to Nationals. In D1, there's 79 schools, 8 more schools than D2. And you get 33 qualifiers. And then at D3, there's 131 schools, and they get 21 qualifiers per weight. So if you're a D1 wrestler, you've got a 42% chance of qualifying for the Nationals. If you're a D2 wrestler, you get a 25% chance. And if you're a D1 wrestler, you get a 16% chance of qualifying for Nationals. How you got 131
schools. That doesn't seem right.
And they don't fill out a bracket. You have 21. You know, come on, NCAA. And you got 16 at Division II. I mean, Division III has twice as many almost as the other two. And you know, it's just sad that they do that to Division III.
Right.
Really, Division II. You know, come on. These kids.
I agree. Are
so I get disappointed in that every year, and so I brought it up again.
Yeah. So now we're in the thick of things, and I agree wholeheartedly. I'm a D3 guy myself, so I. I've seen it. It's just never seemed real equal or fair with that. But, you know, you do the best that you can.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Hopefully somebody sometime listens and it works out.
Right.
But,
I doubt
all
it.
All right. Well, we got – yeah, it comes down to money, essentially. We got the postseason starting up. Any last thoughts before we close things down?
Stay healthy, get healthy. Let's have fun, man. Well, get after it.
Make sure to catch, all that, D2, D3 action, this weekend. And of course, we'll be back next week to preview the conference tournaments and the national tournament for the women as well. As always, for Dick Briggs and myself, and our producer, Amir, I want to say thanks for watching and go ahead and send us out, Coach.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.